Today is the 28th of June. It's about 11:30 in the evening, and it's been a while since I've been on a sermon audio. We did not have our midweek service tonight because we had too many things going on. Had a good time of fellowship. I met with Michael Smith down in Rogers, Arkansas. Had a little, I guess you'd call it a between lunch and dinner with him, a little snack, whatever. I wanted to let everybody know that I've started the rough draft on this third book that I'm going to be writing, entitled The Lies of Free Will Exposed. And I really have felt compelled to do this because there's so many excellent books out there regarding the false gospel and so on. I think one of the best books that I've read, in all the books that I've read, is The Anti-Gospel by Edward Henry. This book is going to be designed to really keep it real simple. We're not going to use a lot of theological terms. And whenever we do use them, I'm going to try to keep it simple. All the scriptures that are going to be used are taken from the authorized version of the King James Bible. And I just thought I'd go over this in advance and kind of share with you this journey as I'm going through. Chapter 1 is going to be the origin of the lie of free will in Roman Catholicism. Chapter 2 is going to be on Pelagius and his teachings and the Reformation. Chapter 3 will be about James Jacob Arminius, John Calvin, in contrast to biblical truth. Chapter 4 will be free will lies about original sin and total depravity. Chapter 5, free will lies about election and predestination. Chapter 6, free will lies about particular redemption. Chapter 7, free will lies about God's unfailing grace. Chapter 8 will be about free will lies about eternal life. In Chapter 8, we're going to talk a little bit about George Whitefield and John Wesley. Chapter 10 will be on Charles Finney and Dwight L. Moody. Chapter 11 is going to be on the Holiness Pentecostal movement. And then Chapter 12 will be on Evangelicals and Catholics together and the whole ecumenical movement. Chapter 13 is going to be an overview of James Dobson's Focus on the Family. Chapter 14, Billy Graham, the Southern Baptist and Mega Churches. Chapter 15, Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Life and User-Friendly Churches and Marketing. And then Chapter 16 is going to be on the Biblical Gospel. I'll just read. I've just started Chapter 1, have just started this. It's in a very rough draft format, so bear with me. Chapter 1, The Origin of the Lie of Free Will. Taken from Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then taken from Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14:12-15. This is how the propagation of free will began with Satan himself. He said in his heart that he would ascend into heaven, that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God. This, in a nutshell, is what free will seeks to set forth, that man's will is independent of God, and his will has the power to do anything he chooses to do. What a tremendous lie. This is the lie of all lies. Ye shall become as God. As Scripture reveals, Satan did not accomplish his objective. Satan did not accomplish his objective, and neither is man going to accomplish his fraudulent objective. He has, in setting forth the lie of free will, God proclaims through the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Isaiah 43:11-13. Yes, the Lord has proclaimed that no one can deliver himself. Only the Lord can save. As a small child, I was taught the lie of free will, that man had the power to invite Jesus into his heart. However, according to the biblical account, Lucifer wasn't the only one that fell. Adam disobeyed God when he ate of the tree in the Garden of Eden, and as a result, this plunged all of humanity into a state of spiritual death. The result of this brought all men and women who were ever born, except for Jesus Christ, at conception into a state of sin. They are in bondage to sin and death, unless they are born again by the Spirit of God and given a new life in Christ. What are the implications of this for those who say they are followers of Christ, of those who say they believe in the virgin birth, in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, but yet they believe in the free will of man and that Christ's death made it possible for all men to be saved, but it was up to the individual to believe the gospel? This belief in the free will of man is the ultimate deception and lie of Satan himself. If man is truly dead in his trespasses and sin, he is unable to do anything spiritual, period. Can you imagine someone lying in a coffin and then deciding they did not want to be dead anymore, and by their decision of not liking being dead, they decide to get up out of that coffin and start living again? I know this sounds absurd, but it is no more absurd than those who uphold the free will of man and say that anyone has the ability, by their own volition, choice, and decision, to cause themselves to be born again. This is utter blasphemy and is denying the work of the Holy Spirit in quickening one who is dead in their trespasses and sin and bringing life to one of God's elect. Why are people so unmovable in holding on to the lie of free will? Man is deceived in believing that he is in charge of his own destiny. He can't stand the thought that his eternal fate is outside of his control and jurisdiction. This is what most so-called Christians are taught from the womb to the tomb. I can remember as a child hearing altar call pleas with emotional songs so designed to coerce a person into doing something like going down to an altar, filling out a decision card, making a public confession of faith, etc. One of the songs used to stir up these fleshly emotions was a song entitled Almost Persuaded. They would sing the last verse over and over and over again until someone in the audience would finally succumb to their will worship. Here's what it said. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Doom comes at last. This was nothing more than fear-mongering and mind control. The very words denied that God was the one who made the choice as to who would or would not be saved. It also denied predestination and election and put free will on the throne instead of God Almighty. Many have rightfully acknowledged that there are only two religions, one of works and one of grace. All religion outside of true Christianity require that their followers must do something in the form of works. Conversely, the true Christian faith proclaims only the absolute sovereign grace of God in his or her salvation. Christ constantly rebuked the Pharisees for their works-centered religion and told them that they were of their father the devil and his works they would do. Well, that's how far we've gotten so far in the book. And we will continue to write a little bit each day as God helps us and we do our research and so on. And I'll keep you all abreast and read you as we have updates. The objective is, of course, all of this is in God's plan, but the objective is, of course, is to get this book finished by the end of the year and get it published before, I would like to get it published before Thanksgiving. So we're on, you know, this book probably will only be around 100 pages. I think that if you get much over 100 pages for working people, it's hard for them to sit down and read. But if you keep it short and simple and to the point, people will come near actually picking up a book, I think, and reading it. So keep us in your prayers as we do this project. And we plan on having a talk show Monday night. And I haven't come up with a topic yet. I think the last talk show was excellent, exposing the lie of heliocentrism and the false science perpetrating that the world is a globe and everything associated with that. Anyway, have a blessed week, what's left of it, and please continue to remember Andrew Brown in your prayers, as well as there are numerous other requests out there, and I can't mention them all. Just remember all the folks that are on TalkShoe, and if you could, would remember my family as well as the people at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Joplin, Missouri. God bless.